So far we have that the Milchama of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and the Milchama between the Guf and the Neshama, and the Milchama between the Seichel and the Choymer, is all one thing. For our purposes here, the Yetzer Hara is comprised of the body of the human being that's made of dirt, that leads a person towards material things. The Yetzer Tov is the person's neshama that leads him towards spiritual things. And the Yetzer Tov and the neshama also manifests itself in the form of the Seichel. So the war between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and the war between the Guf and the neshama, and the war between the Seichel and the Choymer is all one thing. In the Rishonim it says that a person's Yetzer Hara is created as soon as he's born, but a Yetzer Tov he doesn't get till his Bar Mitzvah. In all the Bar Mitzvah speeches, you hear this. Bar Mitzvah comes, you get your Yetzer Tov. We understand it a bit better now. When we say that a Bar Mitzvah boy gets his Yetzer Tov, what it means is that he gets his Das. Everybody knows that a Katan has no Das, and a Gadol does. Since the Seichel, the Das, the intellect of a person, is a manifestation of the Yetzer Tov, that's what tells him to do good, when a Bar Mitzvah boy gets his Das and his Seichel, that's what it means when we say he gets his Yetzer Tov. Now, this war between the Guf and the Neshama causes that the Guf and the Neshama cannot live B'Shalom with each other. When the Guf is strong, that weakens the neshama. And when the neshama is strong, that weakens the guf. What I mean is that luxuries and tanugim and pleasures that the guf enjoys, all of this weakens the seichel. It's either or. There's the seichel of a person, and there's the guf of a person. The Rambam writes, quote, it says, "Aval in tzir hamuskolos yischayiv laharchik roiv hatanugim hagufiyim." If a person wants to acquire intellectual knowledge, if a person wants to acquire intellectual wisdom, he has to stay away from many physical pleasures. Ki ascholos haseichel yitzayir shechurben hanefesh b'tikun haguf v'tikun hanefesh b'churben haguf. That the nefesh and the guf, the soul and the body, the intellect and the body, are mutually exclusive. And the more one satiates the natural tendency he has to run after physical pleasures, the less he's strengthening the acquired tendency that he should have to run after intellectual accomplishments. A person has to train himself to run after intellectual accomplishments, but he can only do that if he does so at the expense of the tendency to run after physical pleasures. It doesn't mean that if a person's in good shape, that means he can't understand things. On the contrary, it's very important to be in good shape and healthy. We're talking about the desire to run after physical pleasures. A person like that is diametrically opposed to running after intellectual pleasures. Churben ha-nefesh v'tikun ha-guf. V'tikun ha-nefesh b'churben ha-guf. Sheha'odom kishiyihi eroidiv taivois, umagbi hamurgoshois al hamuskolois. When a person pursues pleasures and he lets his feelings overcome his seichel, meaning he runs after feelings more than he does after intellectual concepts. He wants to have good feelings rather than good ideas. Umavir sichloi l'tavoisav, and he gives over, he surrenders his seichel to his temptations. Ad yachzor kebehema, he ends up closer and closer, he becomes like an animal. Asher lo titzayu lenafsho elo ha'achila v'hashtiyo v'hatashmish. Only eating, drinking, only physical actions this person becomes interested in. Oz lo yisvoda ha'koyach ha'eloiki. Such a person is not going to understand spiritual strength. If a person's constantly running after good-tasting food and good-tasting wine and physical pleasures, that person, he loses the acquired taste or the acquired desire for intellectual things. The reason is because these are two diametrically opposed. The guf, the physical body, sends a person in one direction, and the seichel sends a person in the other direction, and it's very, very difficult, it's not possible even, to accommodate both of them at the same time. Rotzoloimer haseichel, the Yoshev Oz ki'ilu hu toihu. He ends up nothing. That's what the Rambam writes. It's in other Rishonim, Roy lechol maskil l'shavir tavoisov ulahachnio. If a person breaks his taivus, his desires for worldly pleasures, his intellect considers that pleasurable. The seichel is handicapped by the body. If it wasn't for the body, the seichel would be much, much stronger. And because the human seichel, the human mind, is imprisoned inside a physical body, it's limited. And the stronger the physical body is, meaning the materialism of the physical body, the more it runs after these things, so the more entrapped and the more restricted the intellect feels, the neshama. But if a person breaks his taivus and he has discipline and control, and he doesn't run after things like an animal does, run after worldly pleasures, so his intellect, his neshama, gets pleasure from that. The Alzeh Omar Shloimo, Shloimo HaMelech says, V'kan taiva nihye torev lenefesh, ha'taiva hanishberes dover mosuk v'orev lenefesh hamaskil. If a person breaks a temptation, it may feel painful to the body, but breaking a physical temptation is the most pleasurable thing for the neshama and for the seichel. Umipnei shameshaver tavosoi hu sur meira, al kein omar v'toyavas ksilim sur meira, ki mashehu orev lenefesh hamaskil hu dover metuav leksil, l'fishu hofchoi. If something is pleasurable to the intellectual, to the spiritual man, that same pleasure for the spiritual, intellectual man is considered painful to the fool, to the materialistic man. There's two separate acquired tastes. There's the taste of the neshama, of the intellect, and the taste of the body of the material. And one is mutually exclusive of the other. And this we find over and over and over and over again in all of our places. Chazal and in Rishonim. Tosfos and Ksuvos brings down the Chazal. It says, quote, Ad she'odo mispalel she'ikoneis toiru l'toich gufoi. Before a person prays that toiru should enter him, yispalel shlo yikonsu madonim l'toich gufoi. Let him first pray that pleasure should not enter into his body. If pleasures don't enter into his body, then the Torah will be able to enter into his body. Now, again, this is not to say that a person shouldn't take care of himself. On the contrary, he should. And the truth is, it's perfectly in line with what we're saying, because taking care of yourself is actually not so pleasurable. Now, in the short run, it takes a lot of discipline, and it takes a lot of self-control. We're talking just the opposite of discipline and self-control. We're talking about running after materialistic pleasures. When a person does that, he weakens his neshama and he strengthens his yetzer hara. Even if he doesn't do any averis per se. What he does to himself is he strengthens his yetzahara and he weakens his yetzatayv, strengthens his chaymer and weakens his seichel, strengthens his guf and weakens his neshama. Because what we are learning here is that there is a war going on between the guf, between the physical body part of a person and the seichel of a person. And they are the strength of one automatically implies the weakness of the other. Now, in the Sefer Chochmah Musar, he says that this, that all the philosophers say that binyan hanefesh churbin leguf, that the more you build your neshama, the more you bring down, the more you weaken the body. He says it doesn't mean kipshutai. He says, on the contrary, we find in the Gemara Nedarim that a strong neshama means a strong guf. It's Gemara Nedarim daf mem tes. Panecha doimim lemegadle chazerim umalvei beribis. But chochmas odom toyer ponov, meaning that if a person is a wise man, toyer ponov, you can see it literally on his face. His face lights up. Chochmas odom toyer ponov. So it's not to be taken 100% that the guf and the neshama are always enemies. That's what it says in the Chochmah Musar. The truth of the matter is that it's true regarding a person's face, but a person's face is an exception. It doesn't show anything about the rest of the body. Ramchal writes in Das Tfunois, and it's earlier even in the Sefer Shefatal. He writes that in the Hakdama, that the neshama of a person is seen through a person's face. A face of a person reflects what is inside a person's neshama. It's the only part of the body like that. There's a special koyach of a person's face. If you know how to read it, if you know how to recognize it, you'd be able to tell a lot about a person's neshama by looking into his face. It's an expression of the deepest parts of a person. There's a famous Noidi B'Yehuda, Tshuvas Noidi B'Yehuda, that says that there was a case where a woman was an aguna, her husband was missing. And there are two pairs of witnesses. One pair of witnesses said, we saw her husband dead, and here's the description. And another pair of witnesses said, we saw the husband alive, and here's the description. There's obviously somebody making a mistake here. And the description of the witnesses, both pairs of witnesses described mamish the exact same person. Identical twin, more than even identical twins, not literally identical. There's a little difference. There's mamish identical twins. And the Noidi B'Yehuda says, it's not possible. He says, somebody's lying over here. Because not possible for two people to literally look alike. Because k'shem shein pirtzei fehim shavos kachin de'eisem shavos, meaning that just like a person's neshamas, no two neshamas are the same. We spoke about it this morning. No two neshamas are the same. So too, no two faces are the same. The Gemara says, just like no two people's faces are the same, so too their ideas, their intellect is not the same. Their opinions aren't the same. And now we see that it means it's not just a mashal. Literally, one has to do with the other. A person's neshama is reflected through his face. Misas haguf hisibas hachayim lanefesh. When the guf finally dies, therefore, the neshama starts to live. The guf is a hindrance, a handicap, an anchor that weighs down the neshama. That's why Shlomo HaMelech said, Yom HaMoves miYom HiVoldoi. It's better is the day of death than the day of being born. He doesn't mean Chas V'Sholom, that it's better to be dead than to be alive. If that's true, then Hashem wouldn't make us alive. But rather it means that when a person dies, his neshama can finally live in Olam Haba, his neshama can finally live peacefully. Chovas Halvavas writes that because the guf and the neshama are connected in this way, the neshama also has no choice but to desire certain physical things that are healthy and beneficial for the body. In order for the neshama to have menucha from the pains of the body and for things that damage the body. So the desire to be healthy, the desire to do things that are good for your body, is not the taivas that we're talking about that are the enemies of the neshama. We're talking about just plain the type of stuff that it's even bad for your body. It's even bad for your guf, but it's just pleasurable. The pleasurable things that are unhealthy, those taivas that people run after, those are the worst enemies of the neshama. And when a person runs after those, then he weakens his neshama. Rav Sadji Goin writes that because the neshama is connected to the guf, even though they're enemies, they kind of get used to each other a bit. To the point where, when the neshama has to leave the guf, it has tsar. It's like when a person lives in a house for so long and the house gets destroyed. So even if he's going to have a much nicer house now, he kind of develops an affinity for his house, no matter how rickety it is. So too, the neshama, because it's connected to the guf, it develops an affinity for the guf, even though they're enemies. So that the neshama has pain after it leaves the guf. And when a person dies, when the guf is destroyed, the neshama has tsar over there. And he says that the tsar that a neshama has when the guf is destroyed, meaning when a person dies, is relative to the amount that a person considered his body important in this world. Remember, your neshama is the same as your intellect. And the part of your intellect that's primarily your neshama is your decisions, your bechira choices. And if a person chooses in this world to value his body so much over his neshama, then that means that his bechira choice, his neshama actually is what is more connected to his body. If somebody doesn't, you decide how much your neshama is connected to your body, how much your neshama takes a liking to your guf. Because you decide what your neshama wants, to an extent. And here, if you decide, you as a person decide that your body is so important to you, that you treat it like, let's say, the ikar, and the neshama is the tufel, that you go after material things, as opposed to spiritual things, that means when you say you love your body so much, that means, even to some extent, your neshama loves your body so much. And that means that when the body disappears, the neshama is going to have a lot of pain. Simply because you chose the importance of the body. Another thing about the neshama, we know that certain things, certain activities of a person, certain actions and behaviors are so repulsive to the neshama, so contrary to the nature of the neshama, that the neshama runs away. We mentioned that the word chet, it means an emptiness, a hole, or something that's missing. And when a person does an aveira, he creates a gap in his neshama, because the neshama can't live together with aveiras. But there's a certain thing, a certain midah, that if a person has it, while a person is behaving in a certain way, says the neshama just disappears. Neshama, neshmosay mistalekes mimeno. That's the need of anger. When a person is angry, he loses his neshama. His neshama disappears. The Arachayim HaKadosh in Bereishis, Perek Dalet Pasukei, brings from a chazal, Kol HaKoyis Nishmosoi Nistalekes Mimeno. When a person gets angry, the neshama just disappears from him. It runs away from him. Now, the Arachayim HaKadosh doesn't bring the source. There is a Zohar that says something similar, but not exactly the same. Maybe somewhere else it says where the source is, but I haven't found it yet. The Zohar says that a person has to be careful when he's angry, lest he lose his neshama. He has to watch out, because his neshama can disappear from him. Doesn't say that it automatically, or Chaim HaKadosh brings that it automatically does. In Zohar it says that a person has to watch out because it can. Kas is the worst of the worst. The Rambam writes, we know of course, that in all midas a person should be kind of derech hamamutza. He should follow the middle path, except where it comes to one midah. Kas. A person is not supposed to be angry. When a person's angry, it says, Kiilu oivra voidizora, it's as if he worshipped idols. It means that that mid of anger is such an enemy to the nishit, such a physical, materialistic, gashmius, dirt midah, that the neshama can't live with it. The neshama just disappears. Another midah we mentioned last week that actually comes from, here we have a midah that actually comes from the guf that's such an enemy of the neshama. We said last week that the midah of gaiva is actually comes from the neshama. And Chovas Halvavus writes that if a person's a tzaddik and doesn't do averis, he has to worry then about something worse than averis. So what's worse than averis? The student asked the wise man. He said, gaiva. Somebody that does averis doesn't have to worry about being a balgaiva. Because what does he have to be a balgaiva for? What does he have to be proud of? But somebody that's a tzaddik and doesn't do averis, now he has to worry about being a balgaiva. So in other words, gaiva is shayach, real gaiva, classic gaiva. We're not talking about a person imagines that he's proud of himself. Somebody who has something to be proud of is referring to somebody whose neshama is very, very strong. Remember we said last week from the Kotzke Rebbe that gaiva is associated with somebody whose neshama already conquered his body. And this is it, because the nesoyin of a tzaddik is an nesoyin of gaiva, because he has something to be, it's the only thing, it's the only midah that the bigger you are, the more of a temptation it is. Normally, the bigger you are, the bigger tzaddik you are, the less physical temptations, the less bad midas affect you. The Yetzirah has to come. We said there's a Yetzirah, it's a malach that synthetically imposes upon you a Yetzirah that tries to make you do bad. But there's one bad midah that naturally applies to tzaddikim more than rishoyim, and that's the midah of gaiva. It's bigger nesoyin for them because they have something to be a balgaiva about. So gaiva, the temptation for pride is actually it's a function of the neshama. Shemi Shmuel says in the name of his father, the Avnei Nezer, that this is what we mean when we say that the Shabbos candles are lit for the sake of Shalom Bayis. So we know, Poshet Pshat is that people should have light by which to eat. But the Avnei Nezer says the pshat is because during the week there's no peace inside a person's body. There's that war taking place. The war between the guf and the neshama. The nefesh from the elyoinim that wants ruchnius and the guf from the dirt that wants gashmius, and they're fighting with each other. However, once Shabbos comes, the light of the Kedusha Shabbos gives the neshama menucha from the powers of the guf. It says, even an Am Ha'aretz emas Shabbos alav. Even an Am Ha'aretz feels Shabbos. Because the Shabbos gives the neshama rest from the fight that it has to maintain a whole week against the guf. And that's why Shabbos candles represent Shalom Bayis, because it's the internal Shalom that a person has. And now, let's continue in the text. It says, "V'timtza b'neihem milchama." There is a war between them, between the guf and the neshama. Va'oifen she'im tigbar ha'neshama, if the neshama wins, tisalehi v'tale ha'guf imo. The neshama will be elevated, and the guf, the body, will be elevated with the neshama. Now, v'yiyye oisoi ha'odom ha'mishtalein b'shleimus ha'ma'usit. And that person will have attained perfection that will enable him to acquire Olam Haba, the Shleimus that's going to happen in the future. V'im yaniach ha'odom, and if a person allows, she'inatzeach boi ha'choymer, that the material part of him will be victorious, hine yashpil ha'guf, v'tishpal nishmosoi imoy. Not only will his body go down, but it'll drag the neshama down as well. Now, let's take this piece by piece. The Ramchal says over here that it's not merely that if the neshama beats the guf, the neshama is the victor. If the neshama beats the guf actually changes. And the guf becomes holy. And a person's body is worthy of the perfection of Liyosud Lavoy. We're going to go now to a section in Das Tfunois that the Ramchal wrote. I'll read you what it says. Haka Omar HaSeichel, Haka Vono Hel Yoina, Haloi Shomato Kvar. I already explained to you Hashem's intentions. Heyoisa Achla Heitivel Ha'odom. We know that Hashem's intentions are only to do good for people. Lezakois b'masov v'mashi yisakein atzmoi v'yashlim v'riyosoi, by way of people fixing themselves, and the creatures and the creations becoming perfect, harikan inin chesorin v'hashlemus shezacharnu l'maylo. This is the concept of imperfection versus perfection that we mentioned. Ki ha'olaykim osa ha'guf hazeh choymer av v'choshoich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a body, materialistic, dark, and low. Bilti roi lo'or, ba'or kedushoso yizbarach, m'nei mozgoi ha'shofel. Because of the nature of the guf, because of the nature of the body, it cannot accept Hashem's light. The only people that can get near to the king, that can get near to Hashem, in our case connected to Hashem, are those who have prepared properly. That applies even to an earthly king. The darkness that is naturally part of this body, are all the evil and bad temptations that rule over the body. And it makes him candidate for all the bad actions and behaviors that he can do. But on the other hand, also neshama ha'tahoira, he made a pure soul, hachatzuva mitachas kisei hakovoid, that was made taken from under the kisei hakovoid, v'hoirida v'nofcho b'toich haguf hazeh l'taroi u'lekadshoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it and blew it into this body in order to purify and to sanctify the body. And this is what you need to know. The purpose of the neshama going into the guf is not merely to animate the guf, but the purpose of the neshama going into the guf is to cleanse the guf, is to purify the guf. You ask somebody, why did Hashem give you a neshama? It's not because without a neshama you wouldn't be alive. That's peripheral, that secondary reason. The reason Hashem gave us an neshama, Hashem could make us alive without an neshama. Hashem gave us a neshama in order to purify our guf. L'ha'aloisoi mishofel madregosoi hachomris. V'chasheicho el hamadrego el yoina. To take it away, to elevate it from its low physical level. And to bring it up. Li'yois kemalochei ashores. The body itself is designed to be high as the malachei ashores. V'dover zeh matzonu kfar v'moshe rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. We find such a thing happens by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shizoka v'zikach es chamriyusoi. He purified his physical nature ad sheshov l'madregus malach mamish, until he literally reached the level of a malach. Ukfaro kol Yisrael ki karan or pnei Moshe. They saw the light shining from Moshe's face. V'chanoich v'eliyohu nisal l'shamayim b'gufa mamish. When Eliyahu Novi went to Shemayim alive. What does that mean? Where does a guf go in Shemayim? What is a guf doing in Shemayim? The answer is, if you sanctify your guf and you purify it through Torah and mitzvahs, it indeed is worthy of living, of being up there with the malachei ashares. It's no less. It's not on a lesser level. Achar, asher zikiku es chomriyusom v'zikuch godol. Achar derech asher boituchal haneshom lezakech es gufa halayhu b'mase hamitzvus v'kiyum ha-toyra. The way the neshama purifies and sanctifies the body is through doing mitzvus and fulfilling the Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'toyra or. The light, we're constantly speaking about the body, the gashmius, the evil, in terms of darkness, and the good in the neshama in terms of light. And in that sense, kiner mitzvah v'toyra or. V'kol ma shehi marbe liknois toyru mitzvus, marbe zikuch leguf hahu. Uzchus liatzmo, shi mekayemes ritzoin koino. That's why Hashem put a neshama inside our bodies. The main goal of being in this world is to sanctify our bodies by doing Torah and mitzvahs. The Torah and mitzvahs are a means. The sanctification of our physical bodies is the end. Because the whole purpose of our being here is to get into Olam Haba, and Olam Haba means our bodies in Olam Haba. Now it's all over. All over in the Zohar HaKadosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the neshama. These words that the Ramchal said was mamish picked like line by line from different pieces in the Zohar HaKadosh and other parts in Chazal. That the neshama was taken from the Kisei HaKavod to be a mayor, to enlighten the guf, to be a light for the guf. That when a person does Torah and mitzvahs, his guf becomes Tohar, his guf becomes Kadosh. The job of the neshama in this world is to teach the guf. The job of the neshama that comes mimakam ram v'nisa is to take care of the guf and to make the guf higher and to elevate the guf. El ha'aretz asher areka, kaloyma al guf ploini l'guf kadosh l'guf yosha. A person's job in this world is to sanctify his body through Torah and mitzvahs. Before, if you notice in the Machzuf Yom Kippur, there's a piyut Baruch Nafshi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote it. It's before Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur. In there it says that the neshama was sent to Olam Hazeh l'lamed haguf l'haskil u'lahetiv, to teach the body to be smart and to do good. The Shloah Kodesh writes that a human being was made out of kasnois or guf noki, or with an aleph. Very holy physical makeup a human being is made out of. V'yachakach nislavesh beguf ochor. And afterwards, the dark material body is given to him. Because a person always has the potential to elevate the body to a higher level. So the guf itself, when it's created, is created not from the lowest level dirt. It's created from a dirt that has a potential to be sanctified. It's different than the guf of, let's say, a cow. Even though it's both made physically from the same stuff, but the guf of a person is higher than the guf of a cow. Because the guf of a person has a potential to be elevated and to become literally like the Malachi Ashores. Now there's a machloikis rishonim regarding Olam Habo. If Olam Habo consists of the reward in a physical body, like the Ramchal said, as Rav Sadia Goin holds like that, other rishonim hold like that, or Olam Haba consists of reward in the Olam HaNeshamas, after the guf is dead. We're going to follow here consistently and exclusively with the Shita of the Ramchal, that the Olam Haba that a person gets, the final Olam Haba, is reward when a person has his guf and his neshama intact. Now, if so, somebody's going to ask, what's the purpose of dying? What's the purpose of having Olam HaNeshamas? So the answer is that there's a dual plan for the world. There's one plan that Kadosh Baruch Hu has, one cheshbon, that when collectively we do enough mitzvahs, we learn enough Torah, the world becomes sanctified enough and elevated to the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the final geula, Mashiach is going to come, the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down, min HaShamayim, everything will be wonderful, and that's going to be liyosid lavoi olam haba. However, that's going to happen to the whole world at once, or most of the world, or whoever's going to be left, whoever's going to be worthy. However, there are people who have individual cheshbonis and individual jobs in this world, who, in Hashem's wisdom, decided that those people should finish their jobs in this world before the time comes that Mashiach is going to be here. So what do you do with those people between the time when A, they finish their job, and B, when Mashiach comes and they get Olam Haba? We're not going to bring Eliyosid Lovoi just for some people and some people not. That's not happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is, therefore he created Olam HaNeshamas, where a human being waits, so to speak. He gets what he deserves over there temporarily, until Mashiach comes, until Eliyosid Lovoi, when the real reward, the final reward for his mitzvahs is granted to him, when the body is regenerated through Tchiyas HaMesim, reunited with the Neshama, then is going to be a time and a place where the world will have been purified to the point where the body and the Neshama together is going to be able to enjoy the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to be Olam Haba. Same way, like, let's say, Eliyahu Navi went up to Shemayim alive, so too, we're going to all be like in Shemayim alive. The guf is going to be in Olam Haba Liyosid Lovoi. Says the Zohar HaKadosh Amar Rebbe Pinchas, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyafos leguf hatzadikim liyosid lovoi, ki yoifi shel odom harishon kishenichnis legan Eden. The bodies of Tzadikim Liyosid Lovoi, when Mashiach comes, are going to be so beautiful and such a high level, like the body of Adam HaRishon when he brought him into Gan Eden. Amar Rebbe Levi, HaNeshama Ba'oide B'maloso Nizoynis Ba'or Shel Malo, U'mislaveshes Boi, U'kishi Tikonis Leguf Liyosid Lovoi, Boisoi Ha'or Mamish Tikonis, that the Neshama, when it's upstairs, it is nurtured by the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. And when the Neshama goes into the Guf Liyosid Lavoi by Tchiyas HaMesim, it's going to go in mamish with that light that it devoured when it was upstairs in Shemayim. V'yazai haguf yoyer kezoyer harakia. And because the neshama absorbed all that light when it was upstairs, the guf itself will light up kezoyer harakia. Adohu d'chsiv, this is what the pasuk means when it says in Daniel, v'hamaskilin yazhiru kizayar harakia. The neshama is going to get kedusha in the olam haneshamis, and then it's going to come down with that kedusha into the guf, and whereas now a guf just looks like a body. A guf is going to be totally differently, Yosid Lofoy. The guf of a tzaddik is going to light up with the kedusha of the Torah and the mitzvahs that it did, every mitzvah that a person does with his body. It sanctifies the physical, the guy takes a lulav with a physical body and he shakes the lulav. That lulav, that shaking of the lulav sanctifies the body, and Liyosid Lovoi, we can't see the R now, but Liyosid Lovoi, when the by Tchias HaMesim, that's what's going to happen. The body will shine Kizoya Harakia. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us that just like the Neshama gets Schar Va'inish, the Guf will also get Schar Va'inish. Famous Gemara, Amalei Antinoinus L'Rebbe. Antinoinus said to Rebbe, Guf v'neshama yichaylun liftar atzman min hadin. I have a trick. The Guf and the Neshama can make each other potter from the din liyosid lavoi. They can exempt each other. Ketzad, how? Guf oimer, the guf can say, neshama chato. The neshama did averis. It wasn't me. Shemiyoyim shepir shemi meni, because as soon as the guf went away from me, as soon as the neshama left me, hareni mutl kevin doimim bekever. I'm sitting here in the grave. I couldn't do anything without the neshama. I'm just an inanimate clump of dirt. It's the neshama that animated me and made me do the averis. Haneshama oimeres. The neshama says, guf chata. The guf is the guilty one over here. Shemiyom shepirashti mimenu. Because as soon as I separated from the guf, hareni pareches ba'avir ketzipra. I'm flying around like a bird in the sky. I can't do anything. So I don't know legally how this works. Actually, in Hilchas it works out perfectly with Hilchas Shabbos regarding Shnaim Sha'asu. But that's the claim that the Guf and the Neshama make Liyosu Lavai. So Amar Lehi said to him, Emshal Lecho Moshal, Lamaha Dover Daime. What is this comparable to? Lamelech Bosav Adom Shehoyeloi Pardis Noah. A regular king had a beautiful garden. Vahoyeboi B'chayrois nois, v'hoishiv boi shnei shomrim. Echad chigur v'echad suma. Rochav chigur al hasuma v'havim v'yochlam. There was one that was blind, and there was one that was crippled. And what happened was, they couldn't eat any of the, they couldn't steal anything, couldn't take anything, because one couldn't see where they are, and the other couldn't get to it. So what happened was, the blind person took the crippled person on his shoulders, and he walked the crippled one wherever they was, and they ate it. The yomim ba balchiger v'echad balchiger. The owner of the pardes came and said, "What happened to my property?" So the cripple said, "Me? I think I did this. I don't have legs to be able to do this." The blind person said, "Me? I don't have any eyes to see." So what did the owner do? He said, no problem. He took the crippled person, put him on top of on the shoulders of the suma, on the blind person, and said, now you know what? You're going to trial together. That's it. We're going to try you as one. I wonder if that happens. Two people, they both commit a crime. Each one can't do it on his own. They go to trial. That works, right? That's what they do. They put them in trial together. Afa kodesh baruch hu mevi neshama v'zorka began b'toich Beguf v'donoy som keechod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the neshama, put it back in the guf, and he's going to judge the neshama and the guf together at one trial. So the guf without the neshama without the guf aren't going to trial Yosid Lavoi. They go together. There's a sefer from the Chai Odom. He writes in there where the Gemara speaks about a person who comes to Gan Eden, Sholem begufay, Sholem b'mamoinoi. Says, Hanefesh the neshama isn't really connected literally to a guf. Because what connection is there between a purely spiritual entity and a purely physical entity that they could be combined? Rather, everybody has a tool that is in between a nefesh and a guf. It's partly not exactly spiritual and not exactly physical. We discussed this previously. This is the mishkan of the nefesh, and this is called the guf of a person. He says, whenever you see the guf of a person being the subject of statements of Chazal regarding liyosad lova, it doesn't mean the physical body. The choymer of a person, he says, is called the bosor, the meat of a person. There's the bosor, the guf, and the nefesh. The guf is really that part that connects the neshama and the bosor. All of the punishments and the dinim of the kever and the gehenim that's stated on the real guf, it means this guf. That's what he says, the chayodim. He says it means this guf. We would call this like the nefesh habahamis or the tselem, partly between the guf and the neshama. It doesn't mean the physical meat of a person. He says it means that half physical, half spiritual part of a person. The Rabbeinu B'chai in Vayechi says that similar thing regarding Yaakov Vinu Loi Meis, when it says Yaakov Vinu remains alive, he says, Rabbeinu B'chai says that this that Yaakov Vinu is alive in his guf, it doesn't mean the guf as we see it. It means that very subtle, that very darkestic part of the guf, that very spiritual part of the guf that the nefesh is connected to. It's brought down that this phrase, Tzelem Elokim, that connects the guf and the neshama, is partly not quite physical, not quite spiritual. And the Ramchal writes this in other places too. That's this part of the body, says the Chayodom, that's really going to go to, really gets all the punishments. Rav Sadia Gaon writes in Amunas V'Deis that the guf and the nefesh have one job. Just like at the beginning of Bria's Olam, Vayitza Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam Ofer min Ha'adama V'yipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. They're together. To accept reward and to accept punishment. We find many people confused about this, he writes. There are those that think that reward and punishment is only for the neshama. There are those that think it's only for the body without the neshama. They're really together, the guf and the... This is Ramchal Shita. So Rav Sadia Gaon saying this. That the guf and the neshama are together in this. V'noisev lekach miderech ha-mesoiris, v'ashomru im ba'odam loymer yecholim guf v'neshama liftar atzma min hadin. He quotes as proof to his position, Rav Sadia Gaon, that Gemara bar Antinoinus and Rebbe, that the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, in all justice, try the guf and the neshama is only by trying them together. Because separately, each one can part himself from din. Says the Shaloh HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Tyrus Emes, that through Tyrus Emes, we will be worthy of reward liyosad lavoi. And Hashem gave us mitzvahs, that make a roishim on the guf, that make the guf nitzchi, they make the guf eternal. They show us the mitzvahs, the fact that mitzvahs are physical, show us the nitzchius of the guf, just like the nefesh. Now, he says, currently, presently, the guf is chai b'mikru u'meis be'etzem. meaning the body is synthetically animated. A body is really a dead piece of meat, and it's animated synthetically, artificially, circumstantially through the neshama. The neshama is the opposite. The neshama is intrinsically alive. It's handicapped circumstantially by the guf. Liosid lavoi, there's going to be a complete marriage, he says, between the guf and the neshama. The erastich li be'emuna, that's what it means. The guf and the neshama together will be alive, the guf and the nefesh. They'll both be intrinsically alive, not one animating the other. They will both share a life together. Sfasemis writes that the main golus definition of golus is the shibud of the neshama to the guf. Says really, by default, all the goyim should be subservient to Klal Yisrael, because that's the natural order of things. We have neshama, nishmas aleikim chayim. However, it's not the way it is. Klal Yisrael's meshubah to the goyim in golos. The reason is, says the Sfas Emes, because human being, a yid, is a microcosm. And we have our own guf and our own neshama. And if we take our guf and make it subservient to our neshama, the physical part that God gave each of us, and we make it subservient to our neshama, then God will make the physical parts of the world, the physical people of the world, subservient to the spiritual people of the world, Klal Yisrael. And everything will be beseder. But unfortunately, because in the weak generations that we made the guf ikar and the neshama tofel, we made the neshama subservient to the guf, so that affects nature. When we make our neshama subservient to our guf, it affects all of nature. And the neshama people become subservient to the guf people of the world, and that translates in one word, golus. If we want to get out of golus, we have to just change the nature of the world by making the physical things subservient to the spiritual parts. But if a person, says the Ramchal, allows his neshama to be conquered by the guf, hine yashpil haguf, v'tashpil nishmoso imoy, the neshama will go down with the guf. Now, as we said, that when a neshama goes down with a guf, it's different than when a guf goes down. There's two ways to win a tug of war. You could pull your opponent over to your side, or you can make your opponent let go of the rope. If the neshama beats the guf, it pulled the neshama over to its side. It sanctified the guf. It pulled the guf over to its side. It sanctified it. And now the guf is like a neshama. It's roi liyosid lovoi. But if the guf beats the neshama, that means not that the neshama became a physical entity, but rather the neshama let go of a rope. I'm going to speak more about this last week, but now we're going to take questions. On this topic already, yes. Right. Well, first question, isn't when we say that when a person's angry, his neshama leaves him, isn't it true that sometimes a person's supposed to get angry? Not really. There's different types of behaviors that we refer to as anger. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they're not all kas. First, when you mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not real anger at all. That's not any emotion. We need to understand that. That's completely emotionless. It's just a mushal. It looks, the results of what Hashem does looks like the results of what would happen if somebody would normally be angry. But it doesn't mean Hashem Chas V'Shalom has kas. Our anger, even when we look angry, even when we are righteously angry, we're supposed to look angry and go through the motions of being angry, but we're not supposed to be that lose control, out of control, totally hefker type of anger. That's never good. It says that he's supposed to have anger on your face, but not inside. Even when Pinchas did it, it wasn't the out of control anger, it was very calculated. Kanoim poigimboy means that you act out of emotion, but that emotion is not anger. Anger that we define here as kas means that anger where a person just loses himself. That's never good. Never good to just lose yourself like that. The statement that a person who is angry is oivra voidazora, the Rambam says that, and it comes from the Zohar. We know the Rambam didn't have the Zohar, but the Rambam had Midrashim that we don't have. And the Rambam had all sorts of Midrashim. And maybe it's in some Medrash somewhere. But it's in the Zohar. In the Gemara, it just says, Hashoiver Kalim Bekasoi. If somebody breaks utensils, he breaks things while he's angry. That's Kiloiver Avoidazara. Guy breaks things, he doesn't gain anything by breaking. He's just so out of control, he just loses himself. That's never a good thing. Even when a person is doing it for a good reason, there's never any reason to be in that state of mind. That lack of state of mind. Any other questions? Yes?
It says that if a person is sort of a secondary to the previous question. If a person kills somebody by accident, a relative of the dead man can go after the murderer, but only as long as he feels the anger in him. And if he waits 2 months to do it, it's too late already. He can't do it anymore. So doesn't that show that he's allowed to get angry at that point?
Question. Cannot a goyel hadam avenge the death of his relative only while the anger is still seething in him? The answer is, first of all, that doesn't mean the type of lose yourself anger that we're talking over here. I really hope that a person who's running after the murderer of his relative with a deadly weapon is not losing himself, is not shaver kalim bekasoi. It's more of a feeling of vengeance than kas. There's a very subtle but important difference. Kas means that you're not thinking. Kas means that it's overcome you. There's halachas about a goyel hadam. He's not allowed to just indiscriminately kill somebody. Is only certain. If the man runs into Ari Miklot, he can't kill him. When the Kohen Gadol dies, he can't kill him. Person that's angry doesn't think about any of these things. Person that's angry doesn't think at all. The person who killed Beshoi wasn't an accident. Shoigeg is not an accident. If a person gets killed mamish by accident, there's no halach of Goyel Hadam. Shoigeg is a carelessness. I mean, somebody could have avoided it. He didn't purposely go out to murder somebody, but it was like careless manslaughter. A guy swung his axe, and he neglected to check that the axe head should be attached properly to the handle. And it flew off, Nebuchadnezzar killed somebody. He never intended for it to kill somebody, but when you're operating dangerous machinery, you have to make sure that it's safe. That's not purposeful murder, it's not premeditated murder, but it's not even any type of murder because he didn't want to kill anybody. If you ask him, do you want to kill somebody, he didn't go out and even decide on the spot to kill somebody, but he was careless enough that in his carelessness somebody got killed. So because of that, only in that case a goyel hadam is allowed to go out. But if it was really mamish an accident, total accident that wasn't due to carelessness, no goyel hadam. It's not anger, it's a spirit of vengeance, of righteous vengeance. But it's not anger. Anger is a feeling that we're not supposed to have. Sometimes hard to tell the difference. But kas is never good. Anything else? Yes.
And we know another reason. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, was told by Hashem that nobody can see me and live. That means Eliyahu HaNavi was much greater than Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, no. The question, if Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim alive, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that nobody can see me and live, so that means that Eliyahu HaNavi was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. The answer is that even though Eliyahu HaNavi went up alive, he's still, after he goes up, he's not the same type of alive as he is in this world. You know, he's more like a malach alive, and the body transforms into a spiritual thing. You know, there's a shaila, if Eliyahu Novi's wife is allowed to remarry. It's in the Rishayinu, Eliyahu Novi's wife, he never died. So if he never died, is his wife allowed to be Aguna, right? The answer is no, she's not Eshes Re'ehu. Eliyahu HaNavi is not a Re'ehu anymore, because even though he's technically never died, he's not alive in the same sense that he is. Now, Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes comes back in this world. That's also true, but Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes comes back in this world. And we find cases in the Chazal, in Midrashim, where people come back to this world even. Rebbe came back and made Kiddush for his family. The Chasam Sofer says that these people, only when they come back and are resurrected in a physical body, are they still obligated in mitzvahs. But if they come back, even Eliyahu HaNavi, when he comes back, if he's not in a physical body, he's still not considered alive in the sense that he's obligated in any mitzvahs. So even though Eliyahu HaNavi went up alive with a body, means he never tasted misa, he's still not alive the way he was. And number two, it doesn't mean that while he was alive he saw Hashem. In order to be able to see Hashem, lo yireini odom v'choy, that's a fact. It doesn't mean that he was bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu at all. Anything else?